This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Tracking Ian across Florida. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, September 29. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Nearly 2.5 million customers are without power in Florida this morning after Hurricane Ian smashed into the Gulf Coast near Fort Myers.
Flooding from the Category 4 storm swept away cars and buildings. Hear from some who decided to ride it out.
Two notes from the entertainment world. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run, and hip-hop star Coolio has died suddenly at 59.
And adding to today's housing crisis, the U.S. is running short of land
the
for building
here, of course,
homes.
Is the United States has a ton of land, but the issue is it doesn't have enough land to actually build housing on. And that's really the trouble that we're seeing increasingly across the United States.
Conrad Putzier at the Wall Street Journal on another factor contributing to high prices and low inventory. When Hurricane Ian made landfall near Cayo Costa, Florida, its strength tied it for the fifth strongest hurricane when measured by wind speed to strike the U.S. It came ashore yesterday afternoon as a major Category 4 storm with maximum sustained winds measured at a stunning 150 miles an hour. The storm surge likely peaked at around 12 feet. Nearly 2.5 million customers are without power this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis.
We are getting some reports of structural damage in both Lee and Charlotte counties, but I would say overwhelmingly it's been that surge that has been the biggest issue.
Ian slowed as it lashed the state and was downgraded to a Category 1 storm last night. Flooding swept away cars and buildings and downed power lines, sparked some fires. Several cities asked residents to conserve water as flooded water facilities struggled to keep up with demand. Ian will keep moving across central Florida today and then steer northeasterly toward the upper northeastern part of Florida, then Georgia and the South Carolina coasts. Well, some 2.5 million coastal residents and others in danger zones around Tampa, Fort Myers, and nearby communities were ordered or encouraged to evacuate ahead of the massive storm, but many did not, with some simply vowing to ride it out and others unable to leave for financial or other reasons. Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino.
We have strategically placed resources all over our county, hundreds of deputies waiting for the green light to go back out and help people that are in need.
In Sarasota County, officials warned that emergency vehicles would not respond to calls for help until it was safe to be on the road. Those who failed to get out by yesterday afternoon had to shelter in place. Linda Lide was among those riding it out in St. Petersburg.
Constant wind, but it's the gusts that are just like, wow. You feel the pressure in your home change a little bit. You can feel shifting.
Outside Susan Flack's darkened second-floor condo in Naples, trees bent in the wind and a portable toilet floated by on rising floodwaters. She told Reuters the first-floor lobby was filled with several feet of water. On a related note, storm surge, the water that builds up and comes ashore during a hurricane, is often the deadliest and most destructive threat from these devastating storms. An explainer from Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. Doyle, I didn't realize how deadly it could be.
Yeah, it's accounted for about a half of all the deaths in hurricanes in the last about 50, 60 years, according to the National Hurricane Center. It caused most of the, if we all remember Hurricane Katrina, storm surge was accounted for about 1,800, most of the 1,800 deaths in Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. It remains the biggest threat from a hurricane, definitely, is storm surge.
And what exactly happens? Because it's a phrase a lot of us use, but those of us who maybe live inland or not near a beach or a river may not know exactly what it is. What happens?
Yeah, it's the massive kind of the mound of ocean water that comes ashore as the hurricane makes landfall. It's not rainwater. Really, it's nothing to do with the rain at all. It's entirely ocean water, and it's pushed ashore by the wind from a hurricane, kind of pick up the ocean water and shove it on shore. And it's now considered to be, with this Hurricane Ian, the big threat does appear to be storm surge is one of the biggest threats from this storm.
So if you live on a coast, I guess perhaps anywhere, you're at risk of a storm surge?
Yes, anywhere along the coast of the U.S., the Gulf Coast, especially the Gulf Coast, but less so along the Atlantic coast, you're at risk of storm surge. And it can penetrate well inland from the coastline. It's not just a coastal threat. Like during Hurricane Ike in 2008, for example, the surge moved inland nearly 30 miles in Texas and Louisiana. And it's not something that just coast right along the coast have to worry about. It can be something that can affect you well inland.
Mm. We're speaking with Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. He's written a piece called What is Storm Surge? Explaining a hurricane's deadliest and most destructive threat. When it moves that far inland, it's not like it's some wall of water like a tsunami, for example, right? This is stuff that then starts pushing back into rivers and streams, right? The storm surge at that distance?
Yes, when you're going that far inland, it's more alongside. It's kind of the rivers and streams that flow into the ocean. The water gets pushed back through those streams and rivers, and it can affect you that far inland. It has nothing really to do with. It's not really a tsunami effect. That's generated by offshore earthquakes that aren't really related to weather at all.
Yeah, how about measuring and calculating storm surge? Explain that.
Yeah, NOAA has a series of tidal gauges and pressure sensors located along the U.S. coast, and that's kind of what they use to determine what the storm surge is. And like some of these extreme examples are that a hurricane can push storm water as much as 18 feet above the ground level during a storm, and that, as I said, is what causes most of the destruction from a storm.
What about factoring in climate change here, Doyle?
Yeah, there's some studies that have shown that climate change is supposed to increase storm surges by as much as 10 times in the coming decades. It's already doubled the chance of storms like Katrina from occurring. So it's a threat that we have to continue to monitor as the climate warms.
And it's not the same as flooding or flash flooding, obviously.
No, that's usually associated with heavy rainfall, and that's kind of a separate animal completely from storm surge. That's rain that falls from the sky as opposed to the ocean water that's pushed up on shore by the winds from the storm.
Thanks, Doyle. Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Don't forget, by the way, if you've missed anything, check out a podcast of today's show. It's available every day on the This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Six people have been injured during a shooting at a school campus in East Oakland, California. Oakland Police Assistant Chief Darren Allison says authorities responded just after 12:45 p.m. local time at a school campus that houses four different schools that range from middle to high schools. He says cops immediately made entry into the school and found six adults who had some affiliation with the school, as he says, suffering from gunshot wounds. It's not clear if the victims were students or staff.
They began looking for any suspects any victims, attending to victims, while at the same time escorting students and staff out of harm's way.
All six were transported to hospitals, including two who were suffering life-threatening injuries. Police are looking for at least one shooter, though more people could be involved. Authorities do not yet know if the shooting was a random incident or targeted among people who knew each other. It's 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hurricane Ian hit southwestern Florida as a damaging Category 4 storm, packing maximum sustained winds of 150 miles an hour, making it one of the strongest storms on record to hit the U.S. Ian's efforts are expected to be wide effects and catastrophic, including a storm surge that could reach 18 feet. Tropical storm force winds late Wednesday extended 175 miles from the storm center, while hurricane force winds reached 50 miles out. Florida Division of Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie.
We have personnel staged to come in via ground, via vehicles. We have personnel staged to come in via air with aerial deployed search and rescue assets. And then we also have the Coast Guard and the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission ready to come in by sea.
The hurricane has knocked out power to more than 2 million customers, with outages concentrated in southwest Florida. Hurricane force winds are expected to spread inland to central Florida near Ian's core through the day.
Number two.
The Biden administration has approved a temporary waiver to Jones Act shipping restrictions to allow a tanker to deliver diesel fuel to Puerto Rico needed to run generators following the devastation caused by Hurricane Fiona. The waiver was granted after criticism from Puerto Rico's governor while the BP ship sat off the island's coast, unable to unload 300,000 barrels of diesel fuel because of the law that limits domestic U.S. maritime shipments to U.S. flagged vessels. European governments are racing to safeguard their energy infrastructure after detecting leaks on two major Russian natural gas pipelines that officials say were the result of sabotage. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We're going to let the investigation happen, occur. It's going to take some time, and we will be there for our European partners and allies, and also our NATO allies.
The European Union is threatening retaliation for any further attack on Europe's energy facilities following the incidents on the Nord Stream pipelines. New York Yankee slugger Aaron Judge last night hit his 61st home run of the season, tying the American League in Yankee records. The call on WFAN.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris.
Judge smacked a seventh inning pitch off of Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Tim Mesa in Toronto over the left field fence to become the second Yankee to surpass 60 home runs in one season.
By the way, the Blue Jays fans are there with their gloves, with their mitts.
Of course they are.
And they didn't catch it.
I know.
Fell into the bullpen. Yeah,
well.
I mean, what? How are you not ready for that moment, Blue Jays fans?
Well, there were so many walks the night before, they didn't know what to do.
I'm embarrassed for them. Toronto, it's got to be better, Toronto. I'm sorry. And now a word from our sponsor, Keeper Security. Keeper is the top-rated cybersecurity platform for protecting organizations of all sizes from the most common password-related data breaches and cyber attacks. Did you know 81% of data breaches are caused by weak password security? Keeper is more than a password manager. It's a scalable and customizable security platform that includes industry-leading features such as automated user provisioning, role-based enforcement policies, SSO-SAML integration, advanced reporting compliance, BreachWatch dark web monitoring, and more. Visit GetKeeper.com today to start a free 14-day trial. That's GetKeeper.com. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. The United States, a country of wide open spaces, is short on land. Or at least land where people can live. Land use restrictions and a lack of public investment in infrastructure have made it harder than ever for developers to find sites near big population centers to build homes. It's a story by Conrad Putzier, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Conrad, set that scene.
The truth here, of course, is the United States has a ton of land, but the issue is it doesn't have enough land to actually build housing on. And that's really the trouble that we're seeing increasingly across the United States, that there are all these land use restrictions, that there just aren't enough places close enough to big cities where people want to live in that you can actually build land.
Is there any chance that some of these restrictions are going to be lifted or altered?
It seems unlikely, although some cities and some states have tried to make it easier for developers to build housing. Part of the issue that we have here is that homeowners benefit from these restrictions, right? So if you own a house in a suburb, you basically benefit from development restrictions because it means developers can build less housing. It keeps up the value of existing housing. It's good for you. And homeowners make up 65% of U.S. households. So there is a strong incentive baked in here to basically prevent this development from happening.
What about on the infrastructure front? You said that was a problem too, and identified as an example, Nashville.
Yeah. So another big issue why land values and housing costs are surging is that just that there isn't enough investment in roads and highways and that sort of thing, right? So think about New York 100 years ago. New York's population was exploding, growing like crazy, but housing actually stayed kind of affordable. And a big reason for that is that the city built all these subways and commuter trains to new suburbs. So basically, people moved to New York, but they could also move farther away from the city where housing was cheaper, and that kept housing affordable. Nowadays, you're not seeing anything like that, at least at scale anymore in New York. And when people move to cities like Nashville and Austin and places like that, often there isn't that sort of investment in infrastructure, at least not enough of it. And Nashville is a great example because in 2018, voters in the city had the chance to pass a big investment package that would have built a light rail system, that would have added more buses, and they decided against that. And there are good reasons to decide against it, right? This sort of thing tends to be very expensive. But what that means is it just, as a developer, you can't really build far away from the city if there's no good way for people to get to the city.
We're speaking with Conrad Putzier, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called "The U.S. is Running Short of Land for Housing." You referenced too this rancher Robert Thomas in the Tampa area of Florida. He's got 11,000 acres. Explain his scenario.
He's really a perfect example of what's happened in the land market. So his grandfather bought a bunch of land outside of Tampa, Florida, for about 5 cents an acre. I think it was maybe 10 cents an acre. I can't remember. Barely any money. And he recently sold some of it for $20,000 an acre. So you go from buying it for 10 cents an acre in the 1930s to selling it for $20,000 an acre. That's an incredible increase in value, even if you adjust it for inflation. And people like Robert Thomas have really benefited from the increase in land value, right? Because the more land you own, you're clearly a winner. But it's not just big landowners. It's also homeowners that benefit from this, because a big reason why home values have increased in recent years is that the land underneath has become more valuable.
Thanks, Conrad. Conrad Putzier, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How into coffee are you? Do you drink just what's in the coffee maker, or do you search high and low for the perfect cup? Either way, Trade Coffee will make sure you start every morning with something special. I'm pretty new to all this, so I took the quiz at drinktrade.com/Gordon, and they found a dark roast I love, Orin's from New York City. It's my new go-to when I'm out the door at 3 a.m. Trade used that quiz to create my own custom collection, and if you're like me and enjoy an eye-opening dark roast, go check out my collection at Trade. Trade is the easiest way to get your very best tasting coffee delivered fresh when you need it, and there's no risk. Trade guarantees you'll love your first bag. If not, they'll work with you to replace it for free. So if you want to support small businesses and brew the best cup of coffee you've ever made at home, it's time to try Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/Gordon. That's drinktrade.com/Gordon for $30 off your subscription to the best coffees in the country. Again, drinktrade.com/Gordon.
The news, first, fast, and free of noise. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you could join us. Welcome into Thursday, September 29. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The big storm Ian is making its way across Florida. Nearly 2.5 million customers without power. Aaron Judge hit his record-tying 61st home run. Grammy Award winner Coolio has died at 59. Philadelphia police looking for shooters who ambushed teenagers after a football scrimmage, killing a 14-year-old. 6 injured at a school shooting in Oakland. Stocks were sharply higher, and the Florida man, who's an internet hero after rescuing a terrified cat from Hurricane Ian's flooding. that story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It's a bumpy, volatile, no good, very bad market out there for investors. That's despite yesterday's surge for stocks, which were higher as bond yields fell, leaving stocks more attractive to investors. The Dow Industrials, which earlier in the week slipped into a bear market, rose 549 points, or 1.9%. But there's probably more whiplash ahead. So says Nicholas Jasinski, senior writer at Barron's. Nick, what are we looking at?
It's been an ugly month. October is going to be just as busy, and it's across all assets. It's not just in the stock market. It's bonds, it's currencies, it's commodities. Everything is volatile and trending downwards.
What's behind all this, Nick? Why so much volatility?
So a lot of it is just the fire hose of data and reports that we're getting. And October, that's just going to pick up. So in September, the big ones, of course, were the FOMC meeting. There was an inflation number, some jobs numbers. In October, we also get, on top of that, we get more jobs and inflation reports. We also get third quarter earnings season. And that's going to be as much about the numbers that were reported for the quarter as it is about management's views of the future. That was a big issue in the second quarter, and I think it'll continue to be in the third quarter as well. And then once we get into November, the very first week includes a Fed meeting and October jobs numbers. And then the week after that, on Tuesday, is the midterm elections and then more inflation numbers. So there's just going to be a lot of market moving data and reports for investors to go through.
Wow. All right. So you touched on it early in our chat here, and you made the point. It's not just stocks that are making these big moves. Explain what else is happening.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the Fed and interest rates. Of course, the Fed got incrementally more hawkish at their latest meeting, and a lot of that had to do with that summary of economic projections where officials say what they believe inflation and interest rates and the economy is going to do in the future. And the result was interest rates, or bond yields, I should say, popped to 15-year highs on the short end of the curve. That's like the 2-year treasury is at 4.3% now. The 10-year popped above 4% recently. So as bond yields go up, then the price of the bond declines.
We're speaking with Nick Jasinski, senior writer at Barron's. His piece is called September Was Bad for Investors. October Could Be Worse. But I mean, a lot of the data occurs on similar dates month to month. So why would necessarily October be worse than September?
There's a little bit of seasonality in there as well. And nobody really knows the reason for that. But October historically has been a volatile month. It has the most 1% one-day gains or losses in the S&P 500 of any month. And September and October also both tend to be weak times for the market. There's also the midterm election coming up. Again, this is just a historical pattern. Markets tend to decline into elections, whether that's midterms or presidential elections. It's a little stronger for presidential elections, but I think that has to do with just investors' collective uncertainty. And then looking further ahead, maybe this is going to be your next question, but there's that seasonality gets a little better at the end of the year. We get past the election, so that bit of uncertainty is gone. Same deal with, there's also the Chinese Party Congress that's going to happen in the middle of October. That'll be behind us. And then everybody in Wall Street, all these strategists start coming out with their year-ahead outlooks. People tend to be optimistic or focus on the bright side. And once investors start to think about the year ahead, they can look past what's happened in 2022 and focus on brighter times ahead. Wow. So there's a bit of a reason to believe that there might be a rally towards the end of the year.
Is that the Santa Claus rally that some refer to in December?
That's exactly what they call it, Santa Claus rally, yep.
Yeah. You said in your piece, too, that the futures market is fighting the Fed. I know it's a little wonky, but explain that.
Yeah, so basically the there are futures that are month-to-month on essentially what the Fed funds rate is going to be in a given moment. So in the last FOMC meeting, that summary of economic projections, Fed officials believe that the Fed funds rate will peak at 4.6% sometime during next year. The futures market has it peaking around there, but then actually declining by the end of next year and ending lower than that. And that's in contrast to what Powell and other officials have said about wanting to get rates to a point where they're restrictive and then pausing and waiting for that tighter policy to have an effect on the real economy. There's that famous saying about Fed policy working with long and variable lags, attributed to Milton Friedman. So you have to wait for higher rates to actually have an effect on the real economy. And right now, the market isn't really pricing in that the Fed is going to hold rates at that point. So there's room to get incrementally more hawkish if futures start to price in that higher Fed funds rate for the remainder of next year and beyond.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Jasinski, senior writer at Barron's.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, advertising tells us that America runs on Dunkin', and we know that this show runs on coffee, which is why we're excited to celebrate National Coffee Day. While you're waiting for your morning cup to brew, we have some coffee facts for you. For example, coffee drinking started in the Middle East, with the earliest evidence coming from monks in the 15th century Yemen. It's America, however, that's leading the leading consumer of coffee in the world, with at least 400 million cups ingested daily. Coffee may have been responsible for electing the 25th president. In 1862, a young Sergeant William McKinley was said to have brought hot coffee to fellow soldiers during a Civil War battle. The tale of McKinley's barista bravery would become a well-known story during his presidential campaign. And it even helped get Brazil into the Olympics. As the story goes, the Brazilian government couldn't afford to send its athletes to the 1932 Los Angeles Games, so officials decided to fund the trip by loading the team and thousands of pounds of Brazilian coffee onto a ship and selling it in various ports on the way to California.
They should have stayed home. Because I looked it up, Brazil got at zero medals at the 1932 Olympics. So selling coffee is not a good way to prep your athletes.
Well, I suppose not. Maybe they could have had a few more cups, you know, before the big races or whatever that they obviously didn't win.
Fun fact I found on Wikipedia, is to be trusted as an Olympic source.
Sure.
Brazil made its debut at water polo in the 1932 games, but the team was disqualified after the players assaulted officials at the end of their match with Germany.
Yeah, that's another reason, I guess, where staying home might have been the better option.
Maybe some of those guys had too much coffee.
Yes, that's where all the coffee went.
By the way,
water polo players.
I'm drinking a cup this morning. I have like three of the little creamers that you get with the little pullback the lid things and two sugars. Mm. It's the most possibly the most dreadful cup of coffee I've ever had.
Well, because there's three drops of actual coffee. You know, that's your problem.
That's the thing. I'm one creamer short and about four sugars short.
that's the problem.
Yeah.
Not enough sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not yet done talking about the butt punt, apparently. Not only was the kick by Miami Dolphins punter Thomas Morstead right into the rear of his own player on Sunday really funny, it might wind up costing some people some money. According to the NFL Network, the kick, which was originally scored as a blocked punt, was later changed to a punt of minus 1 yard,
ooh,
which could have some big implications for any fantasy football players who were playing with the Dolphins' defense and special teams. Teams that won their Week 3 games by a point or two may now be waking up to find out that they lost, possibly costing them down the line. Fantasy football players took to Twitter to voice their displeasure with the change, and putting the fantasy implications aside, it doesn't look good on a punter's stat sheet to have a kick go for negative 1 yards, which is why Morstead railed against the scoring change on Twitter as well.
Wow. We'll see him tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Possibly.
The Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. Most likely.
I guess
most likely.
We'll see
him at least once, yeah.
Right. That's a good story. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. More and more sleep researchers and psychologists say moving high school start times later could help teenagers cope with mental health issues coming out of the pandemic. Research indicates teens have a biological need to go to bed later and wake up later due to hormonal changes that occur during puberty. However, the Wall Street Journal says public high school start times have been inching earlier over the past 15 years, and an increasing percentage of U.S. teens are getting fewer than the minimum 8 hours doctors say they need. Mental health pros say that teens who don't get enough sleep are at heightened risk of mental health and behavioral challenges. The reason is because shorter sleep makes it harder to regulate their emotions, which are already going through intense fluctuations during adolescence. Jessica Hamilton, researcher at Rutgers University, says we are in a teen public health crisis and sleep is a major risk factor. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hurricane Ian has been downgraded to a Category 1 storm, but not before making landfall as a Cat 4 yesterday afternoon near Fort Myers. The National Hurricane Center warned of storm surges of up to 18 feet in some coastal areas. Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino.
Reports of buildings compromised. We have reports of vehicles being just floating out into the ocean. We have a lot of different things that are coming in, but we don't know exactly what it is.
Central and northeast Florida are projected to receive 12 to 20 inches of rain. Parts of Georgia and South Carolina are also bracing for heavy rains with up to a foot possible. The hurricane knocked out power to more than 2 million customers.
Number two.
Vice President Kamala Harris capped her four-day trip to Asia with a stop today at the demilitarized zone dividing the Korean Peninsula, as she emphasized U.S. commitment to the security of its Asian allies in the face of an increasingly aggressive North Korea. Harris thanked U.S. personnel stationed there for their service.
Know how grateful and thankful we are, each one of you, for what you do and what you put into it.
The visit comes on the heels of North Korea's latest missile launches and amid fears that the country may conduct a nuclear test.
Number three.
President Biden is pushing to expand free school meals as part of what he calls a new national strategy to end hunger and increase healthy eating by 2030. At a White House conference focused on nutrition, hunger, and health, Biden says his plan would make 9 million more children eligible for free school meals. At the same event, Biden mistakenly asked whether the late Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, who died in a car accident last month, was at the event, saying, "Where's Jackie?" The White House press secretary later said the Congresswoman had been top of mind for the president at the time. Coolio, a West Coast hip-hop star known for melding gangster rap and pop music into memorable hits such as Gangsta's Paradise, has died at the age of 59 at a friend's home in Los Angeles. The cause of death wasn't immediately clear. Fantastic Voyage from Coolio's debut album in 1994 went platinum and reached number 3 on the Billboard chart.
All right, thank you, Jen. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Thanks for joining us. A Florida man is being celebrated after he saved a stranded cat from the wrath of Hurricane Ian. A petrified cat with orange and white fur sat hovering atop a mounted air conditioning unit while a steady stream of water rushed beneath it. 29-year-old Mike Ross spotted the animal from a window and ran outside. Mr. Ross, a consultant at a software company who lives in Bonita Springs in southwest Florida, had evacuated to his parents' place nearby to shelter from the storm. Knee-deep in floodwater, Mr. Ross trudged toward the cat, pushing against the powerful current. Once he got close enough, he scooped up the abandoned animal and held it tightly against his chest as he brought it to safety. His mother captured the rescue on camera. Mr. Ross's girlfriend, Megan, shared the clip on Twitter, and the Washington Post says the internet quickly took note. The video's been viewed more than a million times, and of course, breathless comments have poured in. One poster said, "Absolute hero, marry that man." Another tweeted, "Sorry, Megan, he's everyone's boyfriend now." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.